Hey, Generation Church, we welcome you and invite you to encounter Jesus with us. We believe that through him, we will encounter love and discover our purpose. So take a seat, lean in, and let this message fortify your faith.
Well, today's a different day. Pastor Sam, he is sick today, and he's just not feeling too well. So if you guys just would keep him in your prayers, he said he's got a fever and he's had the chills. And so he was supposed to preach this morning. I found out that I am. And so it's going to be an interesting morning. So if you would, just let's stand and let's pray. Well, Lord, we come to you this morning. And Lord, first we just want to lift up Pastor Sam. We ask, Lord, that right where he is, you would provide healing to him. I ask that his fever would go down, and I pray that his body would go into alignment the way it should. Yes. So, Lord, we pray that you would pour out healing over him, that he would feel strengthened in this time, and that he would receive complete and total healing. Yes. And, Lord, we also come to you this morning. Ask that you would speak to us. We ask, Lord, that you would teach us and you would guide us, Lord. And help us, Lord, to get to know you better. Draw us closer and closer to you. And speak, Holy Spirit. Here we are, Lord. Speak to us. Here we are, Lord. Send us. Come, Lord. This is your house. You do what you want to do. We make space for you, and we say move. Amen. Amen. Okay. So what do you guys think I should preach on?
Jesus.
Jesus. That's always a good one.
Revelations.
You know, Daniel, he made a great point. I should just read all of Leviticus to you guys. That'd be a great one. Well, Pastor Sam, he asked me if I would to preach on forgiveness. And I was reminded of just the power of other people. I was reminded of a few stories that he was sharing with me. One of the stories that I was reminded of is I remember there was this guy in I forgot what country he was in, but he watched this man murder one of his family members. And later down the road, years later, he decided, he gave his life to Jesus, and he decided to go to the prison of the man that murdered one of his family members. He went to that prison and he had one of two choices. The first choice is, I mean, once he talked to that guy, he could have just let him have it. He could have just let all the anger, all the rage, everything that was within him, he could have just let it all out there. The second choice, which is the harder one, but it's the one that God will choose, is forgiveness. So this guy walks into this prison. He talks with the man that murdered one of his family members. He looks him in the eyes, and he says, I love you, and I forgive you. And you see, this is what's amazing. Because in James, it talks about mercy triumphs judgment. He chose mercy instead of judgment, and this was the entire prison of about 3,000 people gave their life to Jesus. That was the outcome. Mercy triumphs judgment. And it can be so easy when someone wrongs us, when someone offends us. Our first thing is judgment. That's the first thing that we go to is this person, judgment needs to come. This person needs to pay. They deserve this. They did this to me. But if we just choose mercy, the outcome is going to be far greater than what you can even imagine. Another story I'm reminded of is 2 Kings chapter 6, is where the Lord's been taking me today. And I'll start at verse 8. When the king of Aram was at war with Israel, he would confer with his officers and say, "We will mobilize our forces at such and such a place." Immediately, Elijah, the man of God, would warn the king of Israel, "Do not go near that place, for the Arameans are planning to mobilize their troops there." So the king of Israel would send word to the place, indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elijah warned the king so that he would be on the alert there. The king of Aram became very upset over this. He called his officers together and demanded, "Which of you is the traitor who has been informing the king of Israel of my plans?" "It's not us, my lord, the king." One of the officers replied, "Elijah the prophet in Israel tells the king of Israel even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom." So we have Elijah the prophet who's been granted by God that the Lord has been sharing with him the words, even in the privacy of the king's bedroom. He gave him information, he gave him knowledge of where they were planning to be, how they were planning to attack. And you see how the Lord, when you trust in the Lord, when you put your faith in him, he's going to protect you. He's going to make sure that you're okay. When you trust him, he's going to do things just like this that you can't even imagine. You see, because of the faith of Elijah, because of the heart of Elijah, the Lord would tell him exactly what the enemy was trying to do, and they would prepare in advance, and then the enemy would not have the upper hand. When you're on the side of God, you always have the upper hand. That's always the case. Because in Jesus, there's always 100% absolute total victory. Amen. He's already won, and there's nothing that can come against him. He's too powerful for the enemy. He's light in the darkness, and what happens when the light comes? The darkness must flee. Amen. That's why it's a good idea to put our faith in him. And so, going down further, "Go and find out where he is," the king commanded, "so I can send troops to seize him." The report came back, "Elijah is at Dothan." So one night, the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. "Oh, sir, what will we do now?" the young man cried to Elijah. Sometimes we can be a lot like the servant. We see everything around us. We see the disaster. We see all the houses that got destroyed. We see all the landslides. We hear about all the people that have died. And we can act just like the servant saying, "Oh, no, what are we going to do?" And we can get so overwhelmed about everything that's going on around us. And we can look at the situation, and we can look at the people that have died, and we can look at the children that have died, and we can think to ourselves, what are we going to do? And we can get overwhelmed and just completely undone, not knowing, how am I going to do this? Or we can be like Elijah. Elijah said, "Don't be afraid, for there are more on our side than on theirs." Then Elijah prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes and let him see." The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elijah was filled with horses and chariots of fire. You may be in a situation where you're surrounded. You may be in a situation where everything around you seems like it's falling apart. But if you would just call out to the Lord, open your eyes, you're going to see that His army is way bigger than anything that's coming against you. Amen. He's got way more forces, way more people, way more soldiers on his side than any other side.
Amen.
He holds the power. And in impossible situations, that's God's bread and butter, impossible. He knows exactly how to do the impossible because he is the God of the impossible. That's who he is. So many testimonies, so many stories of things that would be impossible that have happened. I mean, you guys have heard the stories of when we ran out of bread, and then 10 minutes later, a bread truck comes and gives us bread. And then the second time that we ran out of bread, we the same thing happened again. We ran out of bread, and 5-10 minutes later, someone came with bread. That day, we started with 5 loaves of bread, just like the story. You see, the Lord's doing something, and he's moving. And what's impossible to us is possible to him. He knows what he's doing, and he'll take care of us, but we must put our faith in him. And when things get hard, when people frustrate us, when things come against us, we need to choose love. Because that's exactly what he's done with us. In our entire life, all the moments, all the times when we've gone against him, when we have gone behind his back, he's always chosen love for us. Every single time. Jesus is the most used, he's the most abused person on the planet. People abuse him every single day. Whether they're Christian or not, there's people that just use him for his power and they just pray to him just to get stuff instead of knowing him. That's where it's at, is relationship, is knowing who he is getting closer to him. When we put our faith in him, everything shifts, everything changes, and he'll give us the strength to show love in places where it's hard to show love. Situations like this, you get frustrated people all the time. If people come, you mean tell me I can't drop off used clothes? I'm sorry, you can't. People get frustrated. I mean, there's so many stories. Courtney knows a lot of them. So much frustration, so much anger. When we're rooted in him, he gives us strength to love that no other person could do. I mean, if it was up to our strength to love each other, we'd be dead. It would not work. Unfortunately, Christians tend to have the most trouble with other Christians. We need him. We need his love. And we have to put those things behind us. Because the Bible very clearly, and the Lord knows who he is by how we love each other. That's exactly how the world is going to know who he is. And as the world looks out and they look at us fighting with each other, bickering, and doing all these things, then why would they want anything to do with Jesus? It doesn't make sense. He's designed us, he's created us to walk in love. And the only way we can walk in love is if we know the God of love. His love is, it's agape, it's unconditional. The Bible clearly says the most important commandment is to love God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your might. And the second is equally important, love your neighbor as yourself. The word for love in the Bible is agape, for God, and agape for others. You're not just supposed to have unconditional love for God. You're supposed to have unconditional love for others. That means there's no conditions, there's no limits, there's no parameters. It doesn't matter what they did. If your love has conditions, it's not unconditional. If you decide to not love them because they did this, they did that, it's not agape love. And he's called us to have agape love for every single person, no matter what they've done to you. And I'm not downplaying what someone's done to you. Those things should be addressed. And that's why we have Matthew 18. It says, if someone offends you, you go to them. You talk to them. Person to person. The Bible's clear. It doesn't say when someone offends you, you go to social media. A lot of us do. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say when someone offends you, you go to your friends. The Bible doesn't say when someone offends you, you even go to your spouse. Because if that happens and your spouse goes to you and your spouse talks about all these things this person did, then the next time you see that person, all you're going to be able to think about is the things that the spouse told you. And now your perception of who that person is off. It's not what God wants it to be. And maybe the next time you see that person, maybe things are worked out, but you don't know. There's a reason the Bible gives us instructions like this. There's a reason the Lord tells us these things. If someone has offended you, you go to them. It's simple. It's plain. Does this make sense?
Yes, sir.
Love is not always easy. It's difficult. It gets hard. It gets tough. You know, I can't even imagine. There's so many other stories I've heard of people that have been beaten to death just about and have chosen to go back to those people that almost beat them to death and forgave them. I've heard so many stories like that. And I can't even imagine the strength it takes to show love to a person that's nearly beaten you to death. But that's exactly the kind of love that he gives us. And with him, he gives us the strength to be able to do that for others. So it doesn't matter. It really, at the end of the day, it's simple. You need to find out, how can I love this person? You got a problem with someone, someone makes you upset, someone makes you frustrated, then you have to seek out God, and you have to figure out, how can I love this person? In Matthew 18, it's clear that you want to go to this person, you want to talk things out, and the hope and the goal is to win this person back. It's not that this, you know, people like to say, I'll forgive, but I won't forget. Is that what God does? In Hebrews, it says that God forgives and he chooses not to remember. We may not be able to completely forget what someone's done to us. And trust is earned. That is 100% true. People should earn your trust. But respect is always given. Doesn't matter who it is. It's the character of God. It's in the Bible. Every single person deserves your respect. That is who God is, and that's what he wants for us. Whoever this person that's wronged you, whoever this person that's frustrated you, find a way to build that up with them and use wisdom. Don't just do the same situation as before and let them do exactly what they did before. If they're truly repentant and if they're truly sorry for what they've done, then let them earn your trust. Don't just cut people off. If you just cut people off, then Jesus should just cut you off from a relationship with him. You see, it's not fair. We have no idea the weight and the scope of how much we've sinned against God. All have fallen short. Every single person. And if we only knew the amount of sin we've sinned against God, then maybe we would think twice about cutting someone else off. When you say yes to him, you are forgiven. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what your past is. You're forgiven, you're cleaned by him, and he takes you into his family. The least you can do is love somebody else the way he's loved you. That's the least we can do. Going further in 2 Kings 6. After the servant his eyes were open. It says, as the Aramean army advanced toward him, Elijah prayed, O Lord, please make them blind. So the Lord struck them with blindness as Elijah had asked. Then Elijah went out and told them, you have come the wrong way. This isn't the right city. Follow me, and I will take you to the man you were looking for. And he led them to the city of Samaria. As soon as they entered Samaria, Elijah prayed, O Lord, now open their eyes and let them see. So the Lord opened their eyes, and they discovered that they were in the middle of Samaria. See, this Elijah, for one, he prayed for God to blind them, which is, it's wild that, just can't even imagine this scene. It's hard to comprehend this. But Elijah prayed for God to blind the army. And this is an army that they're against Israel. They're the enemy of Israel. And what Elijah chooses to do, he takes them to Samaria, which is further into Israel. And so he takes them right in at Samaria. And what the king says here, it says, the king of Israel saw them, and he shouted to Elijah, my father, should I kill them? Should I kill them? This is the enemy. These are people that time and time and time again, they've tried to attack Israel, and their goal is to conquer Israel. And that's their goal. So these are people that's against Israel. They're the enemy of Israel. They're the enemy of God. And this, you see, the king had a valid question. Should we kill them? Because they were able to. They didn't have to even have their eyes open back up. They just could have been completely wiped out, and that would have been it. But this is what Elijah decides to do. He says, of course not. Do we kill prisoners of war, give them food and drink, and send them home again to their master? So the king made a great feast for them and then sent them home to their master. So instead of destroying the enemy, instead of attacking the enemy, Elijah decides to make a great feast and feed them. Now, can you imagine, whoever it is that's done you wrong, that's did the worst thing possible to you, is your next thought to feed them a bunch of food? No. Maybe your next thought is to throw food in their face, but the thought is not typically, this is the enemy, this is someone who's against me, now let me feed them food. But you see, this is what Elijah did. Instead of attacking the enemy, this is the enemy. They could have attacked them. They could have just done away with all of those people. We see the other story in the Bible where I think it was Elisha or Elijah called fire down from heaven, and 50 people, soldiers at a time, were just done. They were burnt to a crisp. So they could have been done for, but they decided to feed them. They sent them back to where they came from. And after that, the Aramean raiders stayed away from the land of Israel. Elijah chose mercy over judgment. And the result was they stayed away from Israel. But imagine they chose judgment. Imagine they just chose to wipe them out. I would imagine that they would continue to send people to them. But instead, he does something that other people wouldn't do. He chooses to show mercy, and he chooses to feed them. And out of that act, out of that choice, they never come there again. You see, sometimes judgment seems like the smarter choice, but mercy is always the best choice. It's always going to do what we can't. Just like that man who forgave that person in prison. If that person was never forgiven, if if they were never shown love, all those 3,000 people wouldn't have given their life to Jesus. This is why we have to choose love. This is why we have to choose mercy. And it takes time. When someone's done you wrong, it takes time to get to that place to forgive them. But with the Lord, you can. And you may not feel it. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's an action. It's a choice. And all it takes is saying, I choose to forgive this person. And if there's any way for reconciliation, and if there's any way for them to build back your trust the right way, then that's what you do. Because I'll tell you one thing, God doesn't give out his full trust to every person. He doesn't just give all of his trust to us. We earn his trust. The same way other people earn ours. And that person that's wronged you, that person that's been against you, however that looks, let them earn your trust. But you have to make a way. If all the bridges are burned, then how in the world is that ever going to happen? You have to make that decision. You have to make that choice. Without forgiveness, the cross is irrelevant. I mean, what Jesus did is nothing without forgiveness. He died on a cross for our sins. He chose to forgive us. He chose to do everything he did. And he went through things that we can't even imagine. And he would do it over and over and over again out of love for us. Further down Matthew 18 is the story of when Peter asked Jesus, how many times should I forgive? And he said, 7 times. And what's interesting about that remark is, in the Jewish law, it was typical 3 times to forgive. And so Peter said 7. So maybe Peter was, you know, lifting himself up. You know, I know the number's 3. Let me double it and add 1 more, 7. So he said 7 times. And Jesus was like, no. 70 times 7. What's interesting about this, it adds up to 490. And in the Greek and Hebrew in the Bible, it's a lot of it is alphanumerical, basically just meaning that numbers have a meaning in the Bible. And if you look at the Hebrew translation for 490, it translates to the word tamim. Tamim means to be perfect. And the Passover lamb had to be tamim. And so if you keep digging through this, why did Jesus choose 490? Why is it tamim? Well, going even further, Bethlehem added to the number in Hebrew 490. Nativity also added to 490. So we've got Jesus, the perfect lamb, 490, born in Bethlehem, 490, in a nativity, 490. You see, there's a reason why he gives that number. Why is forgiveness related to that? Why is that all come together? Even further, house of bread is also a translation in Hebrew for Bethlehem. Bread and forgiveness are often tied together. Jesus said, forgive us this day our daily bread, forgive us our trespasses. Why is bread and forgiveness connected? Why are these two things so important? Why did Jesus bring up that specific number? Because just like we can't live physically without bread, we can't live spiritually and we can't live emotionally without the bread of forgiveness. That's why. We're not going to make it unless we choose to forgive. And if you've said yes to Jesus, if you've accepted him into your heart, you have the strength to forgive another person. You have the ability within you. And all it takes is just humbling yourself. A lot of times when we choose not to forgive, what gets in the way is our pride and is our ego. And we feel like we deserve something. The truth is, we're not entitled to anything.
Amen.
The only reason that you still have breath is because God says so.
Amen.
Everything you have is a gift. And we must realize that what He's given us is a gift, and we are supposed to steward everything we have. Not just money, but we're supposed to steward this vessel that He's given us. We're supposed to let Him lead us. We're supposed to let Him move His love through our life. We're supposed to be the most loving people on this earth. That's who we're supposed to be. When other people look at you who aren't Christians, when other people look at you who don't believe in Jesus, they're supposed to see a love that they don't see anywhere else. Is that what they see? When people look at you, do they see a love that's unlike anything else? If the answer is no, there needs to be an adjustment. There needs to be a moment that you have where you humble yourself and you say, God, I cannot do this on my own. This person's frustrated me, they've made me angry, and every time I think about them, I just lose control. And there has to be a moment that says, God, I'm not strong enough, I know You are, and you get on your knees and you say, Lord, help me. And He'll help you. I'm telling you, if you choose the path of forgiveness, if you choose to forgive that person, the outcome is going to be one that you would never even imagine. Think about what choosing to forgive will do to those around that person, around you. Maybe if you just would choose to forgive, choose to love that one person, maybe, just maybe, they'd say yes to Jesus. Maybe, just maybe, the people around them would see what forgiveness has done, and maybe they'll say yes to Jesus. People want the real thing. People want to see something genuine. They don't want to see us just dress a certain way, act a certain way, and just go through the motions. They want to see who is the real, true, living God. They want to know, what is His name? They want to know, who's the one that holds the power? People are searching for truth. They want to see who holds the power. God has given us the ability. He's given us the command to go out into the nations, to preach the gospel, to proclaim His name, to tell people there is a one true living God. There is somebody that will provide you peace that no one else can. There is somebody that will love you even though no one else has, and His name is Jesus.
Amen.
This is what the world wants. They want Him. There's people coming to church now that haven't been to church in years and years. There's been disasters, there's been chaos, there's been so much. Just a week ago, one of the search and rescue guys was showing me a picture of a human arm they found. There's so much going on. There's so much devastation. But God's doing something through this. And He's bringing people home. Him that haven't been close to Him in a long time, He's bringing them home. We have to just trust Him. And don't care about what other people think. Why should that even matter? The only thing that matters is what He thinks.
Amen.
And everything He thinks of you is good.
Amen.
Every thought He has for you is lovely. And I'm telling you, every time God looks at you, He's got the biggest smile on His face. Because you are His. You're His child. You're not a mistake. Nobody in this room is a mistake.
Amen.
And you may go through things that feel impossible. But He is there. He's going to take care of you. You're going to be okay. You don't have to do this in your own strength. There's a reason. There's a reason he created us for relationship. He just wants us to know him. It's so simple. We don't have to go through all the motions. Act like somebody that we're not. All we have to do is just get to know him. Put him first, and then everything else will follow. That's all. That's the only thing. Sometimes we make it into all these other things. We make it into, I have to be this. I have to do that. I have to have this job. I have to look this way. I have to know this person. I have to have this title. What does that matter? The only thing that matters is Jesus. He's the only one that matters. And when we realize how important he is, when we choose him over everything else, our life will change. And we can't make a difference without him. We can be the strongest person in the world and still not make a difference. I've said it before, we can do more things with the Holy Spirit in 5 minutes than we could do on our own in 5 years. Amen. We cannot do this without Jesus. We need him. And all these things, they're always going to be here. There's always going to be somebody that needs something. Jesus said, the poor is always going to be among us. There's always going to be somebody that's going through something. There's always going to be somebody that went through devastation. But this world, this life, it's not always going to be here. These things that we see, everything around us, the only thing that will always stay is his word and him. That's the only thing. We need to choose him. We need to say yes to him every single day. It's not just a moment. It's not just one little time. No, we say yes every single day. Jesus said, pick up your cross daily and follow him. What does that look like for you? It looks like forgiveness. It looks like choosing to love when it's hard. It looks like talking to that person that you haven't talked to in years. Who is it? There's somebody in this room. And there's been people you haven't spoken to in years. Because of anger, because of hurt, because of trauma, because of resentment. How can you love that person? Jesus loves that person. You may not. But I tell you, Jesus is head over heels for that person you don't like. I'm telling you right now, he really loves that person. And you can't say you have his love if you don't love them. You can't say that you have an ounce of love in you if you can't even have a little bit of love for your enemy. His love is not like the world. The world will trick you. The world will make you think something's love that isn't. His love is different. And it's more than we could ever, ever comprehend. It's his joy that gives us strength. It's his presence that will help us throughout everything. Everything we do throughout our day. So I'm just telling you, trust him. Love your enemy. Love those who persecute you. The world says it different. They say judge. They say judgment must come. The world says that you must get that person back for what they've done. The world says eye for an eye. The world says tooth for a tooth. But Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Love looks like something. It's not just words. It's an action. We must show it. But it only comes through knowing Jesus. That's the only time, that's the only way that we can truly show love. It's by knowing the one who is love. That's the only way. There's no other way. There's no other option. It's only through him. So let him lead you. Cry out to him, Say, Lord, here I am. Help me to love. And I'm challenging you, whoever it is, that you know you need to forgive. I'm challenging you to really put a plan into action with God and say, Lord, help me to forgive this person. And He will. He will definitely help you to forgive. And don't say that He won't. He's going to help you to forgive that person. The only thing getting in the way is you. And that's it. We have to choose Him, and choosing Him means choosing forgiveness. Because again, He's forgiven us of so much stuff. We're so useless without Jesus. We can't do anything apart from Him.
Amen.
Nothing that's worth anything. We need Him. Amen?
Amen.
So I just want to challenge you, encourage you, seek it out in your own heart. Who needs to be forgiven? One time after I preached on forgiveness, the Lord brought someone to my mind, and I drove 2 hours just to tell them that I just asked them for forgiveness because I had anger in my heart towards them. Who is it? What I want to do, if you guys would, I'm going to go ahead. We're going to end a little bit early and have some time for prayer. If everyone to stand up. And prayer team, if you would just come right here. What I would like to do, I want you to be real with where you're at. God wants to move. God wants to encounter us. But if we put on, we act like someone we're not, He's not going to move on you. Nope. You got to say yes to Him. You got to be open. You have to let go of the pride, let go of the ego. It doesn't belong to you. The only one who's worthy is Jesus. So if you're in this room and you know there's somebody that you need to forgive, and you have that thing and you're just like, I don't know how to forgive them. I don't know how it's going to work. But you know it needs to happen. I'm inviting you to come up to our prayer team. I'm inviting you to let them pray with you. Whether it's forgiving them now or whether it's just praying with them and asking God, Lord, help me to be able to forgive. Just take that chance and take that step. So if you're in this room and there's somebody that you know you need to forgive, this will be here. Come up and just let the Lord move through you. For everyone else, I just want to pray. I pray, Lord, I pray for everyone in this room. I ask, Lord, that you would move their hearts. I ask, Lord, whoever needs to forgive, let them come forward. And let them make that decision today to love like you, Jesus. Help us all to love like you, Lord. Teach us what that looks like. Show us how to love people that have been so hard to love. Give us strength and draw us so, so closer to you. We need you, Jesus, and we can't do this without you. So we thank you, Lord. I bless everyone here. I bless them with their week. I ask that you would meet them each day. Amen.